From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, October 9th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Attorneys for the state were in federal court Wednesday to defend a law passed by voters that sought to limit foreign influence on Maine elections. As Kevin Miller reports, the case revolves around whether the new law violates constitutionally protected speech.
Last November, Maine voters overwhelmingly approved a ballot initiative that prohibits companies from spending money on referendum campaigns if they are partially owned by a foreign government. The initiative was a direct response to the tens of millions of dollars spent by Hydro-Québec and other energy companies to defeat an earlier referendum on Central Maine Power's controversial transmission corridor. But U.S. District Judge blocked the law earlier this year, saying it could violate the free speech rights of U.S.-based companies that have as little as 5% of foreign government ownership. Joshua Dulap, an attorney for Central Maine Power, repeated that argument on Wednesday during oral arguments before the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston.
The central issue in the case is this. Can the government silence U.S. citizens, U.S. companies like CMP from speaking simply because a foreign public pension fund owns 5% of the company? The answer to that question is no.
Corporate spending on elections has exploded in the 14 years since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Citizens United that companies, labor unions, and other groups can spend unlimited amounts on elections. Federal law does prohibit foreign-owned companies and foreign governments from spending money to influence the outcome of candidate races, but makes no mention of referendum questions. And supporters of Question 2 on last year's ballot argue that foreign influence should be limited in both cases. Jonathan Bolton is the Assistant Attorney General defending Maine's new law before the appellate court.
The fact, again, that this initiative was passed by 86% of the vote, historic margin, no initiative has ever passed by that much in Maine, shows that there is a huge concern by voters.
The foreign influence law would potentially apply to multiple companies that spend big on policy fights over energy in Maine. Hydro-Québec, which is wholly owned by the province of Quebec, spent more than $22 million to defend its corridor project with CMP. Versant Power is a subsidiary of a company owned by the City of Alberta, Canada, and CMP is partially owned by a sovereign wealth fund that is controlled overseas. But several justices suggested the low 5% threshold could have a, quote, chilling effect on corporate spending because ownership ratios can change regularly. And Tim Woodcock, an attorney representing five Maine voters who challenged the law, says Citizens United made clear that civic discourse belongs to the people, not the government.
The electors' position is that the government cannot tell them where they can get their information. And if they want to get their information from a particular source, they should be able to get it from that source without risk of criminal penalty.
But Bolton, the state's attorney, countered that Maine has a strong interest in policing foreign government influence in referendum elections.
Because that is the most core act of democratic self-government you could imagine, which is deciding what laws are going to be governed by all of us.
Enforcement of the foreign influence law has been suspended while the case is playing out in the courts. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A federal appeals court in Boston Wednesday heard arguments in the case of a Maine mother who alleges the Damariscotta School District concealed her child's attempted gender transition from the family. Amber Levine claims a school counselor at Great Salt Bay Community School secretly encouraged her 13-year-old daughter to wear a chest binder and use a different name and pronouns. Adam Shelton, Levine's attorney, argued that the district had an unwritten policy that allowed school officials to take actions regarding the well-being of Levine's child and violated Levine's constitutionally protected parental rights.
We have both that the child was given chest binders, that the child was called by a different name and different pronouns by not just the school social worker, but by multiple school officials. So what we have there is multiple instances across multiple individuals, and no one ever told Ms. Levine about it.
Melissa Huey, attorney for Great Salt Bay Community School, argued that the district's superintendent investigated Levine's claims and found no violation of written school board policy on the handling of transgender students.
We have specific written policies that say the parent will be involved at every step of the way and prohibits staff from keeping secrets. So in order to nudge this case over the plausibility line, we need to have some facts that show that there is a secret policy.
A federal judge dismissed Levine's complaint, prompting an appeal to the First Circuit. Nurses at Northern Maine Medical Center say the Fort Kent Hospital was not transparent about the closure of its child psychiatric unit in September. Nurse Terry Karen says staff only found out a week prior after nurses directly pressed hospital administration to respond to rumors. And Karen says it's not the first time the hospital has abruptly closed a unit.
Our obstetrics unit closed as well. And again, we were assured that unit was not going to close, and then it did.
Registered nurses at Northern Maine Medical Center unionized earlier this year, in part, they say, to have more influence in policies. They're currently negotiating a contract. Hospital officials say most admissions to the 7-bed unit were from outside Aroostook County. They say they closed the unit to better address the needs of the community and make the best use of available resources. Maine's two largest health systems say they're unaffected by a nationwide shortage of IV fluids after Hurricane Helene forced the temporary closure of a manufacturing plant in North Carolina. A spokesperson for Northern Light Health says it currently has a good supply and expects to receive the normal volume of IV fluids from its supplier. Maine Health says it uses a vendor for IV that was unaffected by Hurricane Helene. Mountain Valley Middle School in Mexico closed this week because of air quality issues from mold. Superintendent Deborah Alden says in a letter that district officials made the decision after a third round of air quality testing found mold in additional areas, including classrooms and the gym. She says remote learning will begin next Tuesday for students. In the meantime, Alden says the district is looking for alternative spaces for in-person learning. Construction of a new school to replace the middle school is underway and is scheduled to open at the end of 2025. That's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition tomorrow at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.